My text tonight is verse 8 of this chapter. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, before we can come to the text, we have got to consider the context. And when we consider the background and the setting and the location of these words in verse 8, we find that the context really falls into four areas for study and meditation. There's first of all the exhortation that the Apostle Paul is giving to the Corinthian church. And that really runs, as I've already said, through chapter 8 into chapter 9, verse 1 through to 7. And it's summed up there in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Paul is exhorting now this church, he's exhorting the believers in Corinth concerning the practical giving to relieve the needs of the saints. And when you read the history and the background and you tie it all together with the life of Paul and his travels in the book of Acts, you'll find that there was a great need at that particular time, especially within the church in Judea, in the land of Israel. And as a result, there is a call sent out for help, and the Gentile churches are rising to that, and the people of Corinth were to the foremost, so much so that Paul was actually boasting of them, boasting of their zeal. You see, he says there in verse 2 of chapter 9, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. In other words, Paul is saying about this church that he was able to boast of it. In the various places that he was able to speak of this people concerning their forwardness, their readiness, their zeal, their liberality, their generosity in seeking to relieve the needs of the people of God, people who they had never met, and people who were not of the same nationality, people who were Jews by descent and by birth. And yet here Paul is saying that this was a sign of their subjection to the gospel. Look at verse 13. He says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So Paul is boasting of this people, and he's saying that it was the sign of their subjection to the gospel and their desire to advance that gospel and their desire to relieve the needs of the people of God. And not only did they have that within the context of the church, but they had it also in relation to all men. And that's what he says there in verse 13, and unto all men. Paul really here is enlarging upon what he has exhorted elsewhere, for instance, in Galatians chapter 6. If you turn over a few pages, you come to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, and he says now to these churches right throughout the province of Galatia, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So Paul is emphasizing and exhorting the need for charity amongst the people of God. And that charity is to be seen first and foremost among the people of God. But it doesn't stop there. It is to extend to all men, even those who are not saved, even those who do not belong to the household of faith. So, when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, The background is one of exhortation. Paul is exhorting them now to provide, to give in a practical fashion to help relieve the saints who were in need in other parts of the world. But that leads us on, secondly, to the explanation that Paul gives concerning this action. In verse 7 he says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." He's now explaining how they were to give, how they were to act in this fashion, how they were to exercise this practical aspect of Christianity. He says in verse 5 that it is to be bountifully. Now verse 5, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up before your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness." He's saying they were to give bountifully. There were to be no restraints in this matter. They were to give bountifully. And not only bountifully, but deliberately. In verse 7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart." And now what Paul is saying here is this wasn't just to be on the spare of the moment, just because somebody had come to them and asking. No, he's saying there is to be deliberation. This is to be a deliberate act. This is to be a deliberate act of the will in this matter of relieving the needs of the saints. They were to purpose this in their heart. So they were not only to give bountifully, but they were to give deliberately, with purpose, with intention, knowing what they were doing and why they were doing this. And then in that same verse, he says they were to give freely, not grudgingly or of necessity. Not because they were forced, but rather freely, willingly, from their heart and cheerfully, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So Paul is explaining now. He's saying, he's exhorting them to be practical. He's exhorting them to exercise charity towards all men, and especially the people of God. And then he explains how that is to be done. Bountifully, deliberately, and freely. And then we come to the encouragement in verse 8. And the encouragement is this: "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." Now Paul, what he is saying from verse 8 to 11 is this, that he's seeking now to set before them the encouragement to perform this work of charity. And he's saying to them that God will cause his grace to abound toward them in all things. In other words, God loves and God honors those who exercise this practical charity. God is no man's debtor. God is no man's debtor. The exhortation comes, but alongside the exhortation is this encouragement, that when God's people exercise this spirit, God takes note of it. God takes note of it. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He sets before them in this encouragement, first of all, the provision of grace. The provision of grace. What is it that God will bestow? It is all grace. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. What is grace? It is God's favor. It is God's favor. And the greatest blessing, in fact, the very source of all blessings, is the grace of God itself. The favor of God. The greatest thing that we can have in our life is the favor of God. God's favor. It's often described in a pictorial fashion when you read through the Psalms. The prayer of the psalmist is, lift up the light of thy countenance, cause thy face to shine. The shining of God's face. It is really the symbolism of God bestowing his favor upon individuals, upon his people. And Paul is saying here that when God's people exercise this benevolent spirit toward one another, when they have this spirit of charity, then God makes his grace to abound toward us. And it's all grace. There's no exception. There's no limitation. There's no restrictions here. This is all grace. And surely that's the greatest need of our life. The greatest need of our life is the grace of God. Because you'll notice not only here the provision of grace, but the perfection of grace. This grace applies to every aspect of life. This grace is sufficient for every single aspect of life, for every need that we have in life. Our needs are varied. Our needs are manifold. We have material needs. We have physical needs concerning our body. We have spiritual needs concerning our soul. Those needs are many. They are wide. They are manifold. But here we are told that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things. Notice how many times the word all is used. He's able to make all grace. He's able to make it abound toward us always, at all times, in all circumstances of life, in every circumstance of life, all grace, always, that ye always, having all sufficiency, having enough, in all things, in every situation, in every need, in every requirement. What a verse this is. This is the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the grace of God. And when you consider that, you will find that there are really no limits to this grace. Whatever need it is that we have in life, whatever it is, and you know, sometimes we can be very easily drawn into the snare of really separating up the different compartments of our life and just having the Lord direct his attention and his focus upon certain aspects of life. Usually the spiritual. And very often it is the case that we exclude the Lord from other aspects of life, from material things, from physical things. But do you see the extent of this provision? This grace abounds towards all things in life. All things, every situation, every circumstance, every need that we face in life, whether it be material, physical or spiritual, whatever it is, the grace of God is all sufficient. The grace of God is all that we need. If we have God's favour upon us in whatever the situation is, then we will have all sufficiency. We will have enough. That's enough. That's enough for us. And we will be able to face those circumstances and face those needs and come through those situations. We have the provision of grace and the perfection of grace. But you notice how Paul also emphasizes here the power of grace. Because God is able. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He is able to do this. There is no restriction in the ability of God. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God is almighty. There is nothing that God cannot do, being consistent with his own nature. The ability of God cannot be restricted. And in the setting of the needs of God's people, the needs of our lives, God is able. God is able to meet the need. God is able to give us the grace that will bring us through. The grace that will meet that need. What a verse this is. What a promise this is. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. What is your need tonight? As you've come to the house of God, as we have all come to the place of prayer tonight, we have all individual needs. What are those needs? Well, here's a verse that covers every one of them. Our needs are different. Our needs are different. But here is a verse that meets every single need, no matter how different they may be. No matter how manifold in nature they might be. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. The provision of this grace, the perfection of this grace, the power of this grace, and the purpose of this grace. Why does God bestow his grace upon us? Why does he bestow his favour upon his people in every circumstance, in every situation of life? Why does he do that? Well, Paul answers the question, that ye may abound to every good work. That ye may abound to every good work. You see, God bestows his grace. Whatever he gives us by way of his grace and favour is not for us to hoard up, but to use for his glory and for the good of others. So if we have a particular trial in our life, and the Lord brings us to that place of trial, and in that place of trial, and in that time of trial, the Lord bestows his grace upon us to strengthen us, to bring us through, to bear us up, to help us. The reason why he has done that is not only for our benefit to bring us through, but he has done that in order that it may abound to every good work, that it may be of benefit and a blessing to others. The apostle in the first chapter of this letter, if you look at chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, notice this here, that this is very important to grasp. Paul is saying that God comforts us. God comforts us. God makes His grace abound toward us in the time of trouble, in the time of tribulation. But how does He do that? He does it through His people. He does it through His people. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. This is how the Lord makes that grace abound toward us. He causes that grace to abound through His people. Through the experience of His people. I remember one minister relating an incident where the mother had lost her infant child. And he really felt at a loss for words when he went to speak to the parents. And he related the time how at the same time there was another lady came in to the room. And she just went up to the grieving mother and she put her arms round her and she says, "I know what you're going through. I have been there. I know what you're going through." You see, what was happening there was that in that lady's experience, the Lord had caused His grace to abound toward her in a similar situation, that she was strengthened and brought through that time of sorrow, so that when it happened to someone else, she was then able to go and comfort with the same comfort that she had received in her time of trial. You see, that's why the Lord causes His grace to abound toward us. We have all different needs, different circumstances, different experiences. And in each of those experiences, the grace of God is more than able to meet our need. And the reason why the Lord gives us grace, the reason why He brings us through times of trial and makes His grace abound toward us, is that so that can be of benefit to others, that we may abound in every good work. Now take the illustration of salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is the experience, as Bunyan said, of grace abounding. God caused His grace to abound toward us. That time when we were brought under conviction of sin, made to see our vileness in the sight of God, our helplessness, and God caused His grace to abound toward us, and we were brought into the experience of salvation. Why did the Lord do it? He did it not only for our benefit, but He did it for the benefit of others, that we may abound to every good work, so that we can go to others and tell them of the grace of God in Christ, the message of salvation, the power of the cleansing blood. This is why the Lord bestows His grace upon us. For our good, yes, for His glory, and for the benefit and good of others. What an encouragement this is. Paul is saying to the people of God, God is no man's debtor. You see, put it into context now. Paul is saying, here are needy people in a different part of the world. And I'm sending some of my brethren to collect your liberal gift. And I want you to give bountifully to help them. And when you do that, God will make all grace abound toward you, that ye may abound in every good work. And if you think about it there, he's talking here in material terms. And the reason why they have prospered, the reason why God has prospered them materially, is not that they might hoard it up for themselves, but that they might impart it to others who at that time were in need. And in doing so, the Lord would recognize it. For you see how Paul prays in verse 10. Verse 10 is really an expression of prayer. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that is God. He's talking about God. God ministers seed to the sower. He says, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. This is a wish, this is an expression of desire on Paul's part. It's the evidence or the manifestation of prayer. And he's saying that when God's people manifest a charitable spirit, a bountiful spirit, then God is able to make all grace abound toward them. That all, ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. So he sets before them the exhortation and then the explanation and then the encouragement, but he sums it up with the evidence. The evidence of this truth. The evidence that God is no man's debtor. And that evidence is found in verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is a chapter about giving. And Paul is saying that when God's people give, God gives to them. God causes his grace to abound towards them in all things. And now Paul is setting before us the evidence of this. The evidence of this is God's unspeakable gift, and that unspeakable gift is Christ. Christ is the guarantee of all grace, and he is the evidence that God causes all grace to abound toward us. You see, what he's saying in verse 8 is evidenced and confirmed by the gift of Christ. So often it's easy to read and to quote the words that God gave his only begotten Son without really grasping the significance, the impact, and the importance of that. You see, if God has given us his Son, he has given us everything. And that means that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will cause all grace to abound toward us. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The essence of what Paul is saying here is this. If God has given us his Son, that is the guarantee, that is the evidence, that's the confirmation that he cannot withhold anything else from us. He gives us everything by giving us Christ. Everything that is in keeping with his own glory and the good of his people. And when we contemplate the gift of God's Son, it is simply the revelation and the manifestation that God will cause all grace to abound toward us. He has given us his Son. He cannot give us anything more. For in giving us Christ, he has given us everything. And you see how Paul puts it in the form of a question. He that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all. How? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Paul has grasped the impact of the gift of Christ, the gift of the Son of God. And therefore he's able to say in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Take this as a promise from God, the promise of the provision of His grace, the perfection of His grace, the power of His grace, and the purpose of His grace working in our lives for the glory of God, for the good of our own souls, and for the good of the people of God. May the Lord help us to follow the exhortation, and may we do so with the encouragement that God is no man's debtor, and what is given to the Lord is an investment. You know, the greatest bank that you can invest in is the bank of heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven, where thieves cannot break through and steal, where moth cannot rust and decay. That's the bank that we should be investing in. And that's the bank whose reserves never fall below the level of absolute fullness and sufficiency. You know, there's some people and they like to have their finances all in place, and they like to have that reserve there. And they worry if the time ever came when those reserves were not in place. But you see, the Christian, our reserves are not in an earthly bank. Our reserves are in God. And our sufficiency is in Him. And as long as He is our God, then we have all things. We have the sufficiency of His grace, His favor. And what we need, God will give us. He will give us not before the time, He'll give us at the time what we need out of the riches of His glory, the riches of His grace. What a wonderful position this is. What a wonderful position this is, because this God is our God, even unto death and after death for all eternity. Take this text from the Lord. It's a tremendous promise. It's a promise that is spoken to all the people of God. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And that means tonight, when we come to pray, the needs that we have will be met by the grace of God. And when God meets those needs through prayer, by His grace, the reason why He does that is so that we will abound in every good work. Let's take the Word of God and base our prayers upon the promise that God